So thank you very much for being here to come and to share whatever little I have gathered in the holy dham and whatever I have heard. I really feel like an examination of my gurus are here, and I have to say what I have heard from them. Gurudev, please correct me whenever I make a mistake. So we're continuing the subject of seeing Krishna in our things. And I chose the topic of prayer for reading because the method of prayer for reading really helps us to see Krishna on the pages of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all of Srila Prabhupada's books. And before we get into the method itself, I would like to first go through a few points about why it's important to read. And sometimes it comes to neglect this part of our life and this important instruction. Or we find it difficult to read every day 1-2 hours and focus. Or we read and we feel that it's the same thing again and again and goes to the class, same boring thing. I heard this again. I heard this already. So what? How to overcome these obstacles in reading and going deeper into the understanding and the meaning and the application, so that we can experience real Krishna conscious transformation by reading Srila Prabhupada's book. And the method of prayer for reading I have learned during the Bhakti Vaidhava course in Vrindavan. I was fortunate, and it's by the present mercy, my spiritual master, for the last 4 years I stayed in Vrindavan in Mayapur, and I studied the Bhakti Shastri course, I studied the Bhakti Vaibhav course, and I was closely engaged with the VIT, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. So I learned wonderful things from the associates, in the association with the devotees there, and the prayerful reading was one of the exercises that we did regularly during the Bhakti Vaibhava course, as a means to go beyond the information of the book, but truly experience transformation. So this is something I have to share with you today, and I hope it will be meaningful. Actually, it's a workshop. We will have a very interactive exercise at the end, but first I just want to go through the formula of successful reading, or active reading, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it, active reading. Something that not just comes, just goes from one ear to the other, or something that just goes through the mind and we close the book and somebody asks, what did you read about? I don't know, something about Krishna. So we want to really read in a way that we would really experience it. We will feel different. We will feel we're becoming more devoted. We want to be more for Krishna. That's the purpose. And connecting to the theme of the festival here, seeing Krishna in all things, we speak about how to see Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, pages of Bhagavad Gita. And in order to see, first we need to have two very important factors in order to see. One factor is what? You need the sense of seeing. So I have two mics now. I can't move now. Okay. So in order to see, we need to have the eyes to see. That's one factor. And the second factor is to see, we need to have light. If it's complete darkness, even we have our eyes wide open, we cannot see. And we need the eyes, and we have to keep our eyes open. If I keep my eyes closed and say, I'm here, but I can't see you. Yeah, but I'm here. Yes, but I can't see you. So where are you? So the same with Krishna. Krishna is here. Krishna is everywhere. But we can't see him.
Why?
Because our eyes are closed. Or we're in the darkness, of the room. That's why we pray, Oh Madhyam Sundam Dasya, Yanam Zuma Sala Kaya, Sakshuram Yaditanyana, Pasmai Sri Guru Namaha. So this prayer says that I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master. The spiritual master is the one who opens the eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And the torchlight of knowledge is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the wonderful transcendental literature that Srila Prabhupada has given us. There's a nice quote from the fifth canto. You remember the sages Manisharanya asked, Krishna has gone to his own abode. Now he's Kali Yuga. Where is Krishna now? What's to do? And then they replied, Krishna is for Dharma for the sake, Dharma, Jnana, Vidisaha. And so Krishna has gone to his abode together with Dharma and Jnana, etc. But he has appeared as Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the light. And Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. It gives us the light to see. To see ourselves, to see Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, thus the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are like torch bearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, if you want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life, Lord Sri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. So Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to see Krishna everywhere. As we the other day with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he showed us how to, we can see Krishna everywhere through Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am here, I am there, I'm manifested in this and in that, just to help us to see. The same with Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is present in every page, in every syllable. And in fact, every syllable rains pure love of God. Not in the sun, it says that prema varsha ksharayate. Each syllable, just one syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam can grant you prema. So the question is, how are we accepting it? So we'll talk about the acceptance and the application in a little while. So seeing Krishna means remembering Krishna. To see Krishna means to remember Krishna. And remembrance requires content. We cannot just remember. We need to hear. Like, if you have a friend, let's say, you cannot remember the friend if you don't have some pastime, some interaction with that friend. So we, in order to remember Krishna, we need to know, we need to hear, we need to know something about Krishna, and then we can remember him and see him in everything. That's why reading is so important, and regular reading is so important, because the Shastra gives us the content to remember. And remembering Krishna is the essence of all rules and regulations. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. And that's all other rules and regulations of servants of this one principle. And the goal of prayerful reading is not to just read and read and read many pages, but just to take one verse, or one little section of verses, and read not quantity but quality reading. Read not for information but for transformation. The mood of prayer for reading is, before we start we pray, my dear Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, my dear Lord Krishna, you can pray to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they're living personalities, they're living books. So we pray, please reveal to me what I need. Please reveal to me what you want me to learn, what you want me to imbibe in my life, what do I have to give to others. So this is the mode of prayer for reading, to read a little bit, but to go really deep, and to contemplate, to reflect, how is this meaningful in my life, and how is this meaningful to our ISKCON society, the society in general, etc., and how we can use this in preaching. And also another important aspect of prayer for reading is that we develop our relationship by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. We deepen our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says, I'm always living in my books. He's always there. So every time we open Srila Prabhupada's book, we actually associate with him. He's speaking to us. Also, it's not only Srila Prabhupada, we develop our relationship with our spiritual master, because it is through him that we can accept this transcendental knowledge. He is divine media. Even if he's not present directly with us, just by reading we can remember the instructions that we have already heard. And also we develop our relationship with Lord Sri Krishna and all the other great personalities about whom we read in the book. And this Krishna consciousness, bhakti, is all about relationships. It's all about deepening and developing our relationship. And so we spoke about we need to have the vision, we need to have the light. We also need to have the proper attitude. So the attitude is one of the key elements in prayerful reading, and actually in everything that we do in devotional service. It's not so much what we are doing, but the attitude is what counts. And it's the attitude that Krishna really, really accepts and appreciates. So the attitude of humble, submissive service and eagerness, seeking, what is your message for me? So then Krishna, just to be open and receptive, and Krishna will reveal. Now I'd like to show you a little formula. As the real farmer. Can we see it? No? Yep. Okay. So, reading, it's not just reading. We read, we open the book, we read, we close the book, and that's it. To actually experience transformation, it's really different in sound now. Is it okay? Okay. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the different stages of study and gaining realization through association with the Holy Scriptures. First we read. We read, we recite. We read the book. But reading is not enough. Just Srila Prabhupada emphasized reading so much. He wrote so many letters, and I'm sure you've read many of them, stressing that each and every student in Krishna consciousness must read my book. 1-2 hours a day. So this is an instruction for everybody. Like chanting 16 rounds and reading as this goes together. Then, so reading, but reading is not enough. Just by reading, you cannot really, it's hard to, just reading on yourself, it's hard to grasp what's going on, the continuation, the sections, how is the thing developing. It's really important to hear the explanations and to actually study. So we come to the second step of educating or equipping with knowledge. Education means systematic, thematic approach of the book. And we see how is in the educational programs that we have right now, we have Bhakti Shastri, we have Bhakti Vaibhava, we have so many courses meant to help us to really deeply understand what Srila Prabhupada means, what is his mood and mission. What is the practical application? What is the personal application? What is the authority? How do we deepen our faith? How do we use this in our preaching efforts in spreading Krishna consciousness? And I personally, when I took the Bhakti Shastri course maybe 5 years ago, in Vrindavan. This is one of the strongest experiences in my Krishna consciousness. I was totally transformed. Not just as an aspiring devotee, but also as a human being. And also, I found some of my best friends in this course. Because we have such an intense association and interaction, and then just living in the holy dawn was such an intense experience in itself. So I'll never forget that. How many of you have taken the Bhakti Shastra course and Bhakti Vaibha? How many of you have studied? That's very nice. Not so many, but something. I would like some of you to just briefly share your experience. Abhimanyu Prabhu, would you like to say something? Do you have an extra microphone now? Yes.
Hello.
Abhimanyu Prabhu, which year you were there? 2 years ago?
I think I was there 2 years ago now. This is one of the experiences where it feels like it was yesterday. I was laughing because I came running over because I wanted to talk to somebody about the experience, and we were there at the same time. But it's true, you know, you living in the Dham is beautiful in itself, and I remember going there thinking it was going to be such an austere experience, and I didn't expect that 6 months later. I was so sad to leave. But you do, you make some of the best friends, and even today I'll email or try to keep both persons, or, you know, I mean, the depth goes so great there, because anything that you're reading about in the books, you can walk down the Patikram path and see where it took place, or have some sort of other realizations. You really get to imbibe it by living there. So wonderful. Anybody ever gets the opportunity or can plan for the opportunity, it's a really wonderful experience.
Rajalu, would you like to tell us how your understanding of the book changed? Like, you've been for so many years, you read the book so many times, but how did the Bhakti Shastra course help you deepen your understanding of the message of Bhagavad Gita and all the other books that you have studied?
Yeah, I guess for me, like you said, I've been hearing Srila Prabhupada's book for many years. But when I was in Mayapur, I had the wonderful opportunity of studying Bhakti Shastra in Mayapur. And just being, Mayapur is the holy dham where education is prominent. As we all know, Lord Chaitanya, he spent so much time there educating. That was his whole mood, he was a scholar. So it's conducive. It's such a conducive place for studying and for learning and for really applying oneself with the philosophy. And I guess what was prominent with studying the Bhakti Shastra is that Srila Prabhupada's books became alive. And when I went to India, I was experiencing some internal conflict in my guru-disciple relationship. And I shared that, a little bit of that, yesterday. And what studying the Bhakti Shastra did for me was really help me to understand the importance of the relationship of guru-disciple. And it dispelled all my doubts, all my questions, Srila Prabhupada just really gave me a clear understanding from his books, from the association with the devotees, from being in the Dham, from the wonderful mood of the teachers, and how they just so dedicated to helping us to understand the details of Srila Prabhupada's books, and how Srila Prabhupada is that example of a spiritual master that's helping us understand what it means to have that relationship with a spiritual master. So I think that was what was prominent for me. After all these years, and after serving for many years, that I could really appreciate when I left Bhakti Shastri, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And this is very prominent in my life today.
Did you think about the first? Would you just tell us what did you come out a different person after the course? Do you feel you changed, and how did you change?
How different after taking the course, because like I had a grounding in the books. Like I found favorite verses in each book. And so when I speak to people about the philosophy, I had concrete things to go back to, and I felt definitely a lot more attachment to Srila Prabhupada's books. Mm-hmm. And it helped me to appreciate what he had actually given.
Mm-hmm. And helping me appreciate. Yeah, thank you. It's really a transformational experience to study Srila Prabhupada's books in the Association of Devotees, and I really recommend to you, if ever you have a chance, to go, even if you cannot go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. I think in Philadelphia it's also, it's still going on? I'm sorry? It's in Boston. Oh, now it's even closer. So, yeah, please take the advantage. If you cannot go out, the course is also available by correspondence. We have different Bhakti Shastri correspondence courses. You can do Bhakti Vaibhava. You can study just Bhagavad Gita by correspondence. Things are more and more available. And it really helps us. The systematic study and the thematic study really help us equip us, actually, how to become effective preachers and how to become Bhakti devotees, how to increase our faith, how to increase our convictions that, yes, Krishna is God and Krishna consciousness is the right thing to do and I'm at the right place. Let me just go out and spread Krishna consciousness. Then the next item in the reading formula is apply. And application leads to transformation, and transformation is the real goal of reading and studying Srila Prabhupada's books. Reading Prabhupada's books is not that we memorize the content, we want to become expert pandits, we know so much, we quote so many shlokas and like that. Give excellent lecture and at the end of the class, he's a great speaker. No, at the end of our class, our listeners, our audience should feel transformed. Should feel, Krishna consciousness, I want this, I need this, I want to do it, I want to practice. I want to do something more for Krishna. I feel I love Krishna more now. So this is the goal. The goal is not just to read, but to really apply it. And we get so much tied up sometimes in the content of the book and the philosophy that we forget that the real goal is transformation. The real goal is application of knowledge. So Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's classes and books are so powerful because they're so practical. He always stresses the practical application in such a personalized way. Like he would never speak just general forgiveness, compassion, but he would really get you to forgive those who hurt you the most. Or he would get you to be grateful for each and every little thing in your life, just to think, to be mindful. So it is really important to think about our own reading, our own study, our own preaching. Are we stressing the practical application of the philosophy? Are we applying it ourselves? And when we give class, are we showing how this can be applied in day-to-day life? I personally experienced great disappointment sometimes, realizing that many of the classes that I hear have very little practical application. And this is one of the symptoms of a boring class. It's very little practical. How is this relevant to me? How is this relevant to our life? So maybe my class is really getting boring, but soon getting into the practical application. And when we apply, we can really feel and experience that Krishna consciousness works. If we sometimes feel stuck and stagnated and nothing is, I'm not going anywhere, we have to ask ourselves, am I applying? How am I applying? How much am I applying? And when we apply, then the revolution in the heart takes place. Tadvagri sargo janataga vitlavo. It's famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, Bhagavatam is meant to create revolution in the heart. And this revolution will happen only when we accept Shinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadhava. So this word Grinanti is really essential. Grinanti means they accept. Srinvanti means to hear. Gayanti means to speak, to glorify. But to accept the hearing and the chanting becomes potent and acts in our life when we accept it fully in our hearts. This is for me, this is meant for me. This is meant for my application, for my transformation, like that. So application is really the it's a key point. And without application, if we don't apply it and experience it ourselves, then we may distribute the books, we may preach, but it won't have so much potency if we haven't accepted it, assimilated it, experienced it. That's why the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, the preaching, the lecturing that we do, will have potency if we read carefully, if we study carefully, we apply it in our life, and then people will accept, because they will feel that we really speak with realization. I don't know, we don't have so much time. I just want to share it. Yeah? Okay. I want to share a little realization, because I'm really a gyani type of person who likes to study and to read and to go into the Sanskrit in every little detail. Before I surfed the BBT, I translated Srila Prabhupada's book, Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodara. I served at the BBT for 5 years. I translated several cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was like, when you translate, you really have to go into every little detail to understand it in order to convey it in your own language. So I'm this gyani type of person, gradually will confirm this. So I love studying, and I studied and studied. I studied Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav. I love learning shlokas and so many things. And at one point, I became proud. I became really proud. I was giving really hard time to Rajali. And I always apologize for that. So I became proud, and Krishna punished me. That's one of the weaknesses of Brahmana. Not that I'm Brahmana, but the Brahmana tends to become proud and complacent. That's two weaknesses of the Brahmana. So, and Krishna punished me. And the punishment was because I became so sick. I was in Vrindavan, and I became incredibly sick. And the only thing I could do is just lie in the bed and look in the ceiling and try to change my 16 rounds to finish them in one day. That was the only thing I could do. I couldn't even take care of myself. So then I was really praying to Krishna to reveal what do I have to learn. It's a very intense internal experience. And one of the things that dawned on me was that you were studying so much, but how much are you applying it? And how much are you giving it to others? So this was this became such a prominent thought in my, that I realized, yeah, it's wonderful, I really appreciate it, but I'm not giving it to others. I came to a point of what's called mental constipation. You know, when you eat, you take, but you don't pass it. So I wasn't giving it to others. And then I wasn't happy myself. And also, I couldn't really experience. I realized I'm starting to forget. Like the Bhakti Shastri, I was maybe one of the best students there, but then I forgot everything. Because I wasn't preaching, I wasn't giving classes, I wasn't going out preaching, I had my service as an excuse, and I actually started to lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So then I resolved, and I really prayed, and I resolved that I will really take every opportunity to share, to preach, in whatever way I can. And then, not only that, but I also lost, I didn't want to open a book. I just lost, and I had so much enough of it, enough of these books, that I just had so much in me that I didn't want to open it to get more. So then, something that really helped me was prayer for reading. I would just take the Srimad Bhagavatam and pray. I was extremely weak. I couldn't do much of anything. So I would just take the book and pray to Srila Prabhupada, please instruct me. What do I need to learn today? And I would just open it and read. And it was amazing how every day I got exactly what I needed to hear. But so when I would read it, the verse, the purport, and then I would faithfully meditate on the meaning deeply. How is this relevant to my life? How could I apply it? How could I follow it? How could I give it to others? How is this relevant to our whole society? Like that. In this way, my illness became a real blessing, and it was easy to get over it. And I'm still grateful to Krishna for it. So the essence is that it's a cycle, and the more we read and study and apply ourselves, the more we're eager to give it to others. Because knowledge is meant for distribution. It is meant for distribution, but first we have to get it ourselves. As you see, whatever little you have, you give to others. And also we can, as preachers, as aspiring preachers assisting our spiritual masters, we can also pray to develop the applier's heart. That we preach, that Krishna will help us to experience what we're preaching. And that we preach also in such a way that we will, that through us, Krishna will create life change in the hearts, in the lives of others. That others will actually start to change. They'll feel loving Krishna more and wanting to do more for Krishna. So that's the essence, that's the real purpose of the prayer for reading. But also we have to be careful, because when we pray, Krishna responds to our prayers, and sometimes in ways that we don't really expect and don't really imagine. Krishna always tests us. I just shared a little story with you how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj sent me to Moscow. Exactly.
She's in Bulgaria. She speaks English, Bulgarian, Russian, so many different languages.
Well, that's how I speak. That's how I speak. So I was sent to Moscow in 6 weeks, and this was actually the great blessing for me to have a little preaching opportunity and to share with others. So it was on Sita Devi's appearance day, and I was asked to give class. The whole program was just Mataji leading everything. So I was asked to give the class, Sita Devi and Janavi Devi. And I prayed that my dear Lord, the topic of my class was the power of chastity. And I prayed, my dear Lord, please let me have actual realization, let me experience it, let me apply it myself. And on the day of the class, I was living like 5 bus stops away from the temple. And so I went to the bus stop and I was fully dressed, sari, everything. And it was morning. And this was the morning of the Russian National Victory Day. That's when was the victory, celebrating the victory in the Second World War. So I'm standing at the bus stop and I'm waiting for the bus, and all of a sudden a car stops in front of me and the man opens the door, and I just so instantly thought, maybe this is some devotee going to the temple and he wants to just give me a lift. And I looked at the person and I was, who is that? I didn't recognize him. And he said, he congratulated me with the festival, and he said, come in, I'll drive you away, I'll take you wherever you want. And I still thought, oh, maybe he's the devotee. I said, I was going to the temple. And he said, which temple? And then I realized, oh my God, he's not a devotee. And I saw, you know, the cigarette passes and everything was a mess in the car. And I realized, actually, he was drunken from the night before or whatever. And then, and I said, oh no, I'm not going with you, no way. So immediately after that, the bus came. And I was like, thank you, Krishna. You want to teach me the power of chastity, right? So every time I have to give a seminar, every time something happens, just even before this seminar, I had another test. And every time, but it's so wonderful actually, because Krishna helps us to experience. It's so wonderful because Krishna helps us to experience it, and then we can really give it to others. I won't tell you the test before. I won't tell you the test I had coming here. It's not really that important for you. But it is, yeah. So when the philosophy becomes alive, our reading becomes fruitful, interesting, and we just can't wait until we open the book, when we actually relate these things to our life and to our environment. Because these books are really living books, they're personalities. Srila Prabhupada is personally present there, and it's really meant to teach us, it's really meant for us. Now, I apologize, I had a printout here, 3 pages, that Bodhidharma Prabhu wrote about prayerful reading. It's actually his inspiration. He stressed it so much during Bhakti Vaibhav course. I'm sorry we couldn't print it out and copy it for you, but if you really want to have it, you can just give me your email address and I can email it to you. It explains the goal of and just the attitude. Most of the points are covered already. And there are many nice quotes from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada assures, I read one to you. He assures us that it is actually the quality of our reading that makes the book interesting. Because Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is transcendental literature, and the more we read it, the more we realize we see new and new things. So Srila Prabhupada says, another specific description here is Srinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnan Avatara Katamritam. It is not that because one has once finished Bhagavad Gita, he should not hear it again. I read it. What was the next book? But the word Abhikshnan is very important. We should hear again and again. There is no question of stopping. Even if one has read these topics many times, he should go on reading again and again, because Bhagavad Gita, the words spoken by Krishna, spoken by Krishna's devotees about Krishna, amritam, nectar. The more one drinks this amritam, the more he advances in his eternal life. In another purpose, in the 7th canto, Srila Prabhupada said, for example, even if we read the entire Bhagavad Gita every day, all the 18 chapters, even if you read them every day, in each reading we shall find a new explanation. That is the nature of transcendental literature. So we find new and new meaning. Also, the new and new meaning comes because we make progress. We become more purified and we realize we see things more. Our eyes become more and more open. Our hearts become more loving. And we can accept and we can experience more and more. And I'm sure all of you have this experience. Most of us come to this movement because of a contact with Srila Prabhupada's books. And it is actually Srila Prabhupada's books, they are the basis of our life, devotional life, they are the basis of our transformation. They are the basis of our preaching, we read them every day, in the morning and in the evening. They are the books that we distribute. And they are also the measurement, the thing that we measure our life, the standard, the devotional standard in our life. It is so important to read them in the right attitude of humble servants, praying for revelation, praying for purity, praying for transformation. So there are a few steps. It's very simple, actually. The prayerful reading you can do on your own. It's you have to choose a secluded place without telephone ringing, children screaming, like that. Just be alone, or you can also have a group of devotees, like in the Bhakti Vaibhav we had a group, maybe 5-6 devotees together reading, and you take whatever you want to read, you choose it, and before you open the book just pray for revelation, and then you start reading, but read slowly and read mindfully, read Seek, and try, allow also Srila Prabhupada's words to sink in your consciousness. And ask yourself, how is this meaningful in my life? What is Srila Prabhupada's instruction for me here? How can I apply this? How is this relevant? What problem does this solve in society, or my own problem, my dance? And again, the purpose is not quantity, but meaningful association. Read as a kind of associating with Srila Prabhupada, with the great personalities you read about, with Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Sanatana Goswami prays, Madaika Bandhu Mat Sango, you're my only friend. You're my only companion. You're my only Madaika Bandhu Mat Sango. I forget the word now. It's a beautiful poem glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And he very personal approach. You're my friend, you're my companion, you're my savior. Please never leave me alone. Please never leave me. So we can also pray to all of Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada, please never leave me. Please let your words manifest in my heart and in my throat, accompanied by pure love. This is the prayer of Sanatana Goswami. So now we will have a little exercise just to help us experience this prayerful reading. We'll do it a little differently. Instead of just giving every one of you a book, we just don't have the facility for that. But I picked up quotes from Srila Prabhupada's purpose, like direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada. And what I'd like you to do now, we have them in the basket there, I'd like you to first pray to Srila Prabhupada. Like, we glorify the pure Vaishnavas, Vanchakalpa Taru, he's like a desire tree that fulfills our desires. And we always express our desires too when we pray. But also, the spiritual master has desires for us, has expectations for us. So we can pray today to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what is your desire for me? Please, what is your desire for me? And with this in mind, we'll pass the basket up. Just pick one of those, and you'll have like 10 minutes to just reflect how is this relevant in your life. And then we'll have time to share. Yeah. Please help. How is this relevant to me? Think about it. And then say, the second part of the exercise is, as you reflect, you pray and commit yourself, how am I going to apply this in my life? And you may think about yourself, and you may think also about Ishkan. Is this true? I'm sorry, I actually forgot. We wanted to have paper and pen and give it to you because it should be easy for you to write. If you have paper and pen, you may even write down. And that's also when you prayerfully read, you also try to write down your realization. All right, then let's give it 10 minutes, and then we have time to pray. Please think.
I'm still getting used to this.
All right, so we have, I don't know, a few minutes to share. Would some of you like to share and just share how is this relevant to you? What did you get? Is this really something that you really need to work on? Somebody like to share? Yes, Guru. What?
Just look over here. Krishna. The passage that I got is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Verse 13.
Yeah, please read it to us.
Sometimes devotees are ill-treated by enemies. It is advised that advanced devotees should be tolerant. He should show complete mercy to persons who are ignorant or innocent. A preacher devotee is meant to show mercy to innocent persons whom he can elevate to devotional service. So I was looking at how is this relevant to me, and I was just seeing how there's a duality in myself between a desire to preach and to, you know, share the knowledge that I've gained through Guru and Krishna's mercy with other people. But at the same time, saying sometimes devotees are ill-treated by envious persons, and I have this dislike for being ill-treated, or I consider that I'm being ill-treated sometimes, and I may overreact to that, and it's an anartha that I deal with that brings up anger and brings up so many other things, and I constantly have to improve on how I deal with this. I can apply technologies like seeing that behavior as a call for love, but right now it blocks my ability to share the knowledge that I learn with others.
So Srila Prabhupada is telling you to be more compassionate, be more merciful.
Yeah,
he's telling you to be more compassionate, be more merciful.
Yeah, I definitely felt like it was.
And this includes you too. Yeah, being compassionate to yourself too. To be compassionate towards yourself, it includes being compassionate. So it's also increases your awareness. What you need to work on. Srila Prabhupada pointed this out to you right now. Yeah. Yeah, you may keep these quotes and then give them back. Anybody else? Yes, Gurudev.
Hare Krishna. I have Srimad Bhagavatam 4:16:2. By glorifying the Lord with exalted verses, one becomes purified. Although we are unable to offer prayers to the Lord in adequate fashion, our duty is to make the attempt in order to purify ourselves. It is not that we should stop our glorification, because demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot adequately glorify the Lord. Rather, as stated by Prahlad Maharaj, everyone should glorify the Lord according to his own ability. If we are serious and sincere devotees, the Lord will give us the intelligence to offer prayers properly. So, for myself, first I saw how Prabhupada explained in the purport that even the demigods cannot fully adequately glorify the Lord. We know also that Krishna is Atmaram, and he doesn't need glorification, he doesn't need anything. But our own attempt is for our own purification. And so I was thinking how sometimes we can be reluctant to do, because we may feel that we are not able to do as expert as we would like to do. One may be reluctant to do. Or sometimes one may think they're very expert and think that Krishna is needing it, or Krishna is satisfied. But here we're seeing, for myself, is that Krishna doesn't need anything. We're the ones need it. And even if we did do everything wonderfully, according to even that of the quality of the demigods, that is still, it's not enough. It's inadequate, according to this verse. But Krishna appreciates sincerity, and that one should offer, as Prabhupada says in the purport, one should offer to the Lord according to his own ability. Now for ISKCON, I was thinking somewhat similar. We have this massive movement. We're trying to do so many things. But actually, we're doing one thing. And ultimately that is to give up sense gratification. That is Lord Chaitanya's own institution. Lord Chaitanya himself has propagated you know, this movement. And so it is so much of Krishna coming in the Bhava Srimati Radharani. But we see that Lord Chaitanya himself, he lived very simply, even though he was such a scholar. And he gave us such essential things in his Sisastika prayers. And then from that, then his devotees, they wrote and they purported and they explained, but he gave us just those prayers. So I was thinking how ISKCON, with all of its faults, it is the ecstasy, it is the charism, it is the special offering of Srila Prabhupada to his spiritual master. And so similarly, one can become very overwhelmed and bewildered about trying to fix ISKCON, or complain about what doesn't happen. But also, even if so many things that we might find difficulty with are happening in the proper way, are happening, the question is, what is the level of consciousness that's there? And how much is Srila Prabhupada pleased? So I was thinking how, then that's the real issue, whether Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is pleased, even if something is done, not done so expertly. But then I concluded with thinking about the Pharaoh and how the Pharaoh was so determined to drink up the ocean to retrieve her eggs. And here was an act that was totally irrational and it was impossible. But it was not only possible and probable with help. And so it was helping me to remind me personally, as well as our institution and even our community here and communities I have involvement with, is that we really have to do things with adequate sincerity. As we do those according to our own ability, then Krishna is pleased, then so many things will happen wonderfully. And if Krishna is not pleased, we can do all kinds of things, personally or institutionally, and there'll still be failure or disappointment.
I just wanted to say that Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is exemplary in this prayerful, in praying and prayerful. So we're really looking forward to reading Beggar's Force. And please continue to enlighten us with your prayers. Yes, Karichandra Maharaj.
Okay, this is 10th Canto, Chapter 11, Number 28. It's a purport, I think. The instruction we may derive from this is that we should not be disturbed by so-called disturbances. There have been so many disturbances to our Krishna consciousness movement that we cannot give up our forward march. On the contrary, people are receiving this movement very enthusiastically all over the world, and they are purchasing literature about Krishna consciousness with redoubled energy. Thus, there are both encouragements and disturbances. This was so even in Krishna's time. So that verse must have been about some demon harassing Krishna. So that this one's a little easy to take. It's relevant to everybody. One thing is that for myself, I preach like this all the time, but I have to apply that more, that when disturbances come my way, I'm usually not very tolerant. And for the movement, it's a direct instruction. One time one girl was asking Prabhupada, she was a reporter, that, you know, and she became submissive, and she's saying, how do you deal with negativity? And Prabhupada said, what do you mean? She kept saying, what do you mean negativity? He said, you know, like you're trying to do something, but everyone's against you, and no one agrees with you, and, you know, and Prabhupada said, what do you mean? He said, you know, like your movement, so many people are against you. And Prabhupada said, oh, how many books did we sell last month? So the devotee told him, you know, $100,000 or something. Well, just see, so many people like us. And she said, well, what about the people who are against you? I don't think about them. Why should I think about them? I only think about the people who like us. Why should I? She said, well, that's really positive. So I said, yeah, that's right. So I had a lot of realization from that. But this is, he's saying the same thing. As we study Srimad Bhagavatam and anything in Prabhupada's life, he was always like that, completely positive. if there was a challenge, if there was a direct attack, he would fight. But he never felt like, you know, why is this happening to me? He always said Krishna is just giving him a chance to serve. You know? So we need to, of course, I need to apply this. But these are very nice things.
Thank you very much.
Well, this verse is from the fourth canto, eighth chapter, verse number 35. It's purport. The question raised here is whether or not a person afflicted by material desires is fit to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The answer is that everyone is fit to worship Him. Even if one has many material desires to fulfill, he should take to Krishna consciousness and worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is so merciful that He fulfills everyone's desires.
Boy, I like yours.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I have a lot of material desires, so at least I'm in the right place. I think of this quote reminds me of at least one, but I know there's more verses in the Bhagavatam where the verse says, Akama sarvakarmova mokshakama udaradi tigrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That if one has all material desires, no material desires, or actually desires liberation, then one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so that verse more or less says that every jai she see Radha Damodara she jai.
We'll have time enough.
So that verse, and of course as it's mentioned here in Srila Prabhupada's purport, is that no one is exempt from worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is interesting because when Prabhupada took his movement to the West, Srila Prabhupada was criticized for presenting Vedic culture, Vedic knowledge, and Vedic lifestyle to people who are, what we say, outside of the Vedic culture, as far as being born in that area of India and others. So Prabhupada understood Lord Chaitanya's mercy, his mission, to spread Krishna consciousness to everyone. Is actually because everyone is, by nature, Krishna's part and parcel. So no one is exempt. And here, the point is that a person afflicted, the word afflicted is really interesting because that means many material desires, not just some, but one who's honeycombed or covered by material desires. Even that person, if they take to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the conclusion is that then one Krishna will fulfill material desires. But does Krishna fulfill material desires? That's the question here. In one sense, yes, in another sense, no. Because when one worships the Supreme Personality of God or Godhead, one gets a higher taste if one is worshiping correctly. And therefore one loses one's material desires gradually. So fulfilling and losing is actually the same thing, because one gets something better. It's just like if you want $10 and someone says, "Here, well, here's $100, you get the $10 anyway, but you get more than what you asked for. So more or less you stop desiring $10 because all your monetary needs are automatically satisfied by a large amount of money, or what we use in this verse is mercy. So one gets more than they actually ask for. If they approach the Lord for material desires, they get something better. And therefore they lose their desire, their material desires. So that's the mercy of the Lord. So, and of course, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Lord Nityananda is the representative of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, spreading that and giving that to all the representatives everywhere in the world and encouraging everyone to take up Krishna consciousness. Here's the way to satisfy every aspect of your life.
Thank you very much for reminding us about this, because most of us come to Krishna consciousness with material desires. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have a little more time?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, all right. Maluku.
We can take maybe another 15 minutes or so.
One must be prepared to offer the necessary respect and honor to the spiritual master. He should not be unnecessarily envious of his god-brothers. Rather, if a god-brother is more enlightened and advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should accept him as almost equal to the spiritual master, and one should be happy to see such god-brothers advance in Krishna consciousness. I'm a very envious person. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, many, you know, we're also eager to serve the spiritual master, but we should also be eager to serve those servants of the spiritual master that are actually working in the mission of the spiritual master to help preach and are working in the same mood. And in that way, we can do our best to serve the spiritual master, and it's not all necessarily just serving the spiritual master directly. I think that's the name.
Boy, that's a good one for her.
Horrible.
This is mystical. Whatever's going on here.
Horrible. I'm not trying to be funny here, but I think I got the wrong one. I'm not sure where it's from because it doesn't say. You know where it is? It just says 25. It says, okay, one who uses sex life not for sensual pleasures, but only to beget children according to the reformatory method, is also accepted as a brahmachari. One should not waste semen on sensual pleasure, violating the principles of Vedic life. Restraint in sex is possible. So, Krishna's messing with my mind here.
It's mystical.
Again. So, I'm thinking still on how this is relevant. So.
No, these are all so relevant. They're too relevant for all of us.
As I said, I'm still meditating on it for myself. It's
Ekadashi Suru? Do you have another mic?
There's a mic here. You can move it here.
We should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible, and then everything will be clarified. For Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature. It was written by Vyasadeva when he was self-realized. Thus, the more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more its knowledge becomes clear. Each and every verse is transcendental. So I underlined, everything will be clarified. Lately I've been kind of paying attention to the fact that I don't really read the way that I should. So when I read the very first line, it was like, it was directly for me. I feel a lot of confusion sometimes about just knowing what to do for certain things. And even though I listen to a lot of my spiritual master's tapes, and I know that I can write to him, and he'll write to me, but I also know that he doesn't want for me to be dependent on his physical presence, and that I shouldn't write for every single little thing. So I need to read more so that everything can become clarified. I can grow more and learn more and know for myself what needs to be done. And, you know, and I can get that from reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you very much for sharing this. Let us also remember that these are Srila Prabhupada's instructions for all of us also. But this is like personal reciprocation with you right now. But these are all instructions in his books, and they're meant for all of us to apply. Anybody from this side? Yes, please.
Haribol, Gurudev. Gurudev just mentioned that this has certain mystical things happening, and it's so true.
As Prabhupada's mercy, I thought.
It is. A few days back, I approached my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, with certain irrational fears in my mind, and I said, how could I possibly get out of these? I have these things plaguing me. And the verse I received is, tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. The Lord says, I put my devotee into difficulty, and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material troubles necessitates delivering him from the illusory material relations. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 1919. And it's very relevant to me because I had this fear a week ago, and I somehow or the other, with the mercy of my spiritual master, got over it. And here's the verse pointing out that it's just going to be mercy. And the second thing, as far as the movement goes, I'm a neophyte, but as far as the movement, oh sure. Well, This relates to Guru Maharaj's call in Gitanagari around a month ago when I was visiting on a Sunday feast. It was a very powerful call where he wanted all of us to request Krishna to take away everything from our lives that would stand on the way of Prabhupada's mission or his desires, and bless us with plenty of other things which could help us serve Krishna better and be a better servant of Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. I took up the prayer the very next day, and it went on well for a couple of days, and the third day Maya started playing a little few tricks on my mind. She started telling me that, what if Krishna takes away your daughter? Or what if Krishna takes away your wife? You know, things like that. And this started, I continued with the prayer, but it was a little bit of a disturbance at the back of my mind. So I approached Gurudev again, and I presented my predicament to him, and I requested help. And we went through the seminar on faith in New Vrindavan during the Inspiration Festival. And that fixed me up in the sense that I got out of it because I was able to reflect on every challenge which was imposed on me in life and how it brought me closer to Krishna. So I sort of came out with full knowledge that, yes, if there is going to be a challenge, it's only going to bring me closer to Krishna. And here's the verse which is sort of making it so relevant, it's so mystical that it came to me. And as far as for the movement goes, for ISKCON, I was thinking that there have been so many challenges which the movement has faced in the recent years. And I've always thought of it that these are challenges which are actually being imposed on by the Lord Himself, because the movement belongs to Him, and so that we could reflect on a more microscopic manner and correct those things, and we could be stronger as we proceed into greater goals. Haribol.
Thank you very much for sharing. This is the Supreme Mystic. How did he reciprocate with you, Dharma? We'll take maybe two more.
The verse I have is from Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.72. It says, it's a purport, I think. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have been given all concessions possible for this age. So at least we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties and devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we have undertaken. It is our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. We should not wait for another life to finish our job. Some of the phrases in here that stuck out for me, obviously the last, you know, one's dealing with finish up in this life, you know, but also about neglect of our prescribed duties in devotional service. And what I found when I've been reflecting on is one of the areas in the panel that Rajavila had here was dealing with balancing, you know, our duties. You know. And so I've been dealing with that lately. And I noticed that sometimes when I focus more on my direct devotional service, I become neglectful sometimes in my other duties. And then sometimes when I focus more on the other duties, then I become more neglectful in my devotional service. So what I was reflecting on is how I need to see all of it as devotional service. You know, because all of my other duties, my job, cleaning the house, doing this or doing that, you know, everything is connected to Krishna, serving to Krishna, you know, using my Lakshmi, my house, the Lord is residing there, you know, so everything I'm doing, if I'm seeing properly, is devotional service, you know, taking care of my children, taking care of my wife, all of it, it's all devotional service. So I was seeing how I need to transform my conscience to see things that way, and not the also dealing with the point about finishing up our duties and executing devotional service in this life. I was realizing how I'm not greedy enough. You know, I don't have enough greed, you know, to at this time to finish in this life. So sometimes I may be lazy or inattentive, you know, and how that's lessening my chances in this life. So I'm praying that I can be more greedy, you know, to attain the goal and gain the mercy of the Vaishnavas and my spiritual master, so I can finish up in this life.
Thank you very much, Guru. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, we'll end the answer. I don't know all of your names.
Yep. Number 57. A devotee or a saintly person should not be dreadful to others, nor should anyone be a source of dread to him. If one treats others with enormity, then no one will become his enemy. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.32. Actually, I emailed my Gurudev about something like that, reading Sri Upanishad, and one of the items listed is a Vaishnava or a devotee should avoid causing any kind of stress, anxieties to others if the initiated disciple do something of that nature is causing a great sin to his spiritual master. And I actually emailed Gurudev about that. I was concerned about sometimes the way I deal with people, and also arriving in Vijayanagari, wanted some answers and also needed some to meditate on some things. And Mother Indrani asked me to, my service was to actually do the registration. And I was so concerned at one point I told her, I really cannot do this, because I was concerned the way I'm going to be interacting and dealing with people, especially when you're dealing with Lakshmi. It's such a sensitive issue that I want to be careful the way you approach people. And I think I did that a couple of times, and then she said, yes, you can do it, so, you know, just try and do it. And I thought actually it was working. And for the past couple of days, Friday and Saturday, both His Holiness Dr. Chaitanya Maharaj and also Chandramani Maharaj mentioned that we should always see everything and everyone as Krishna. And I was meditating on that. And this morning the panelists, especially Mother, I think Anisha, gave me some of the answers that I needed, how to deal with the Vaishnavas or the devotees, that if you do have an issue, it's better to face it and deal with each other before Krishna shuts the door. And then you have to deal with each other. And again this afternoon I was telling Anasuya about the same situation, and it seems like the super soldiers came and gave me an answer with everything that I have been observing the past couple of days and today, that I should approach the way, I should change my approach instead of changing the word that I am using in order to get my point across in a way that will be it will create an interaction that I will actually have what I will actually get what I needed. And that did happen, and I was sharing that with Mother Indrani today, and she told me that she was actually praying, and Krishna is really fulfills all desire. Because actually I came to Vijayanagari trying to get answers and also trying to meditate and pray on how I should avoid to causing any kind of stress or anxiety to others. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
And Srila Prabhupada gave his peace. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity to beg for forgiveness, because that's what I got here, was an opportunity for that, to share my realization and beg for forgiveness. This is from the Nectar of Instruction, text 6. If we consider the bodily defects of a Vaishnava, we should understand that we are committing an offense at the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is very serious. So I'm scared now. Because and what I got out of this really, and because I've been extremely offensive, and just reading Srila Prabhupada's, instructions and words. So it's a healthy fear. So I have to be careful. This is my experience with this. Of association, even association within ISKCON, because there are a lot of devotees that believe that most Westerners, or, a defect of the body would be like an American body, or that Srila Prabhupada's mercy can't come through them. So, I've had association like that, and, it's very serious. So, we can't judge. This is like trying to help us get us off the bodily concept. It's like the basic tool that we're given. We have to be careful because all of this is out of ignorance, and I can't judge who is dear to Krishna based on their body type. That, you know, not everyone has to be in an Indian body to have the most ability to spread Krishna consciousness. And and I kind of needed to hear this. I also have been very sensitive, so please forgive me.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, I know some of you want to share more, but time is running short. We have one more seminar. So just wrap up and yeah, this is a wonderful experience. And this is something that you can continue to do. It's not just awesome.
This seminar is finished, and you can do it in your own community, in your own environment. It's a very nice exercise to get together and have meaningful association by discussing the depth of Srila Prabhupada's work and how this is meaningful assignment to you. And we can see Krishna when we have the vision, the eyes, and when we have the light. And the spiritual master opens our eyes to the light of knowledge. And this knowledge is found in all its variety and depth in Srila Prabhupada's books. So the more we read Srila Prabhupada's books and study them and apply them in our life, the more eager we will be to distribute and to give it to others and to contribute to the uplifting of the consciousness on this planet. And it will also keep us inspired, because when we preach, we are so inspired. We are also totally conscious of, like, when I have to give this class, I have to really think. I'm 24-hour meditation. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, yeah, that's the point. So it really engages our mind. Preaching engages our mind. This is reading, studying, applying, engages our mind, helps us to focus, fix our mind on Krishna, and thus become more loving devotees, and see Krishna in everywhere, including the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'll end up with a very nice quote from Srila Prabhupada from the first canto. He gives the secret to rapt attention, because we have to pay attention. Just like when we chant our rounds, we have to chant attentively. We also have to pay attention to the words of what we read, not just read and forget and fall asleep and like that, but pay attention. So the secret to rapt attention, Srila Prabhupada reveals it. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us this blessing. Even though we might not be as pure in mind and pure in action, like that, it's something for us to work on. But just try to pay attention. And also try to pay attention how Krishna manifests, how the Shastra manifests in your life and becomes real in your life. And I want to thank you once again for inviting me to come here. I was very, very resistant to come to America. I didn't want to come. I was so scared, and I was convinced. Bhakti Maharaj convinced me that this is Krishna's plan for me, and I know why I came here. And now, as I came to Gitanagari, I feel that, like, I don't want to leave. So I want to thank you very much, and.
They hurt you.
So I can only pray, please consider me a servant and engage me in your service and keep in touch. Just grant me your association so I can also become a devotee and see Krishna everywhere and in everything. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.